Good. Okay. In this week's many parshas, one of the things that are discussed is the Bachames Midyan, that last week was Parshas Pinchas, and now it's payback time. The Kaddish Baruch Hu tells us that we're supposed to go to war with Midyan and to take revenge for that which they did to us. The war is a successful one, and then after the war, there are halachas that we learn from it. So among the, besides the people that were killed, etc., there was also a fair amount of booty that was taken. And so therefore, among the things that they took were pots and pans. So the question was, these pots and pans weren't necessarily used under the strictest supervision in Midyan. So the question that we have, things that we learn now is how to kasher. That's one of the things. But not only do we learn about kashering kelim, but there's another halacha we learn as well, and this is something I'd like to focus on. Start with number one, the quote from the parsha: "Vayomer Elazar haKohen el Anshei HaTzava haBoim laMelchama Zosku Kas haTorah Asher Tivra Adonai es Moshe." Again, this is a chok. A lot of discussion: why is this a chok? Taka, a lot of this makes sense. But that's what the Torah says. It says, "Aches haZohav ves haKesef ves Nechoshes haBarzav ves Medil ves haOfaris." We list here six metals: gold, silver, copper, then
iron,
tin, and lead. It's interesting. My wife probably knows this better than me. These are the six original members of the, no, not the NHL, the periodic table. Right? And these are the originally that they thought that these were the six elements. So anything that's from these six metals, kol davar she yavo ba eish taviru ba eish v'taher. So this is the halacha, what we call kibbol kach polto. The same way that it became non-kosher, you're going to make it kosher. In the event, this is something, for example, a spit, that you put a chazer on it and you spin it around. So that goes directly on the fire. So therefore, in order to kosher it, you have to put it directly into the fire. If it's a pot, you put the lobster in, so that's just boiling water. That's enough for that. But one way or the other, ach b'mei nida yischata. He also has to go into mei nida. What is mei nida? Mei nida, the Gemara tells us, is mayim that shanida mitaharis va. It is a mikvah. V'chidasim migdechem b'yom ha'shvi v'tahartem v'achar tavo al-machaneh. So we have a law here that when it comes to getting a pot or any other food utensil from a non-Jew, there's two things you have to worry about. One is it has to be kosher. So if it wasn't kosher, you have to kosher it. But besides that, there is a requirement that you take it to the mikvah, whether it was kosher or not. If you go and you buy a new pot, you go to Walmart, you go to Macy's, and you buy yourself a set of pots and pans, you are under the hopefully correct assumption it's never been used before. They are kosher. However, despite the fact that it's kosher, still, the Torah tells us you have to put it in mei nida. You have to go and put it in the mikvah. Rashi explains that chol shelo yavavei kol dosh enu tashmisha al yedeor, nothing that's used directly by fire could go and kosos v'tzruchio shetashmisha betzonim lo ba'oliser. So let's say you have a cup, right? So it's an interesting question that a lot of people ask. You know, can you buy a used cup or use glasses, etc.? So the general answer is, yes, you can if it doesn't have a handle. Right? Because juice cups, etc., because they don't have a handle, you would never put anything hot in it. So therefore, that even if you buy it used, it's not a problem. If it has a handle, you could put a Lipton cup of soup in it. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't have a handle, it doesn't have a problem. So he says, anything that you only use it for cults, you don't have to kosher it. You can use it straight. However, taviru b'mayim matbil v'dayo v'davka kli mateches. So he says that specifically metal, even though you know it's kosher, all you have to do, still you have to put it in the mikvah, and that's it. Midoraisa, this is true, only metals. Now, we'll discuss in all metals or these six metals. What's the reason for it? Why exactly do we do tefillas kelim? It's not koshering. Because, for example, if
something new, it was never used. It's not supposed to kosher.
Right. Yeah, it can't be kosher. Mm-hmm. Right. Also, v'haraya, even when I fetrafe my own stuff, I don't have to title it afterwards. Right? So it's not. So the Yerushalmi explains it's a little bit odd, but this is talk of the reason. So hapir fishi yotzu mitumas hagoy v'nichtu to kedushas Yisrael. Because it used to be a non-Jewish pot, now it's becoming a Jewish pot. It's geiris, oddly enough.
I would say it's made by a Jewish person.
So if it's manufactured in a factory owned by a Jew?
So it's manufactured in a factory owned by a Jew.
And there's no non-Jewish middleman.
Correct, and you do not have to tovel it. So specifically, if you buy something made in Israel, we assume you don't have to tovel it.
Even if they're Arab workers are?
What?
Even if they're Arab workers are doing it?
As long as the Jew owns it at all times, then it's not a problem. I must have mentioned that I had a Din Torah about this. Very interesting Din Torah, where there is, we'll discuss tonight, disposable pans. So, majority opinion is we'll see that disposable pans do not require tefillin. Minority opinion disagrees. According, this person was producing disposable pans with hashkacha. The hashkacha is that you don't have to toivel it, even if you're machmir. So what did this person do? He bought the aluminum, he hired some guy in China to make the pans, and he had some guy to come out there and give the hashkacha on it. It's very interesting, because it's an odd thing that happens, because this is the actual story. What happened in the Din Torah I sat on was the mashkiach pulled the hashkacha. What does that mean? I'm not sure. But he announced to all the stores that the hashkacha on these aluminum pans are no good. So they stopped ordering it. So the guy went to the guy said, I'll charge you the same as without a hashkacha. They said, no, we don't want to be known to be selling things with shady hashkachas. Questions? Okay, that's fine. So here this guy had all these aluminum pans, and they were stumped that the Vizhe Rebbe, in fact, blessed it, and it doesn't need to do tefillah. So what happened was, so he figured he'll sell them in Chinatown. So he went to Chinatown with his aluminum pans, and he said, I'll sell it to you that we usually pay. I'll sell it at below that. And they said, no, we're not interested. He said, why not? He said, well, we bake a cake. We don't want a hashkacha on the bottom sticking out. It was embossed.
Oh,
right? So this guy never, the Yidin didn't want it, the Goyin didn't want it. This guy was stuck with tons of aluminum pans because it had a shady hashkacha on something that doesn't need a hashkacha to start with. The whole thing was absurd. But among the ha'aris I had at the time, I mentioned as this Din Torah went on, was, let's say the guy in Chinatown would have bought it from him. Right? And I'm walking down Chinatown, and I say, oh my goodness, I can get a final hashgacha on my aluminum pan for the same price as nothing. But the truth of the matter is, if that would be the case, it wouldn't have worked. Because once he sold it to the fellow in Chinatown, who I assume isn't Jewish.
Then if you're machmer, it needs to be.
Right, then whatever it was. So that's based on that, I don't know how they could possibly give a hashkacha on it unless you watch it through the entire process, through the middleman.
Shmura Mishas too.
Right, that's not Mishas, that's the odd, the very odd idea. But that's the reason. As long, anything that transfers ownership from non-Jewish ownership to Jewish ownership and its metal requires Tvilas Kalem. The Rosh says, "Hach tefila lo mishum tuma." It's nothing to do about tuma. Tara is not that. Dafil chadashim tzvichon tefila, because when you make it right away, it needs it. El gezeres hakosavim. The Rosh says there's no reason for it. It's a chok, and there seems to be some support by it. It says zoschu kasatora.
Who would have thought?
Well, so either this is the reason or there's no reason. Fine. The Rambam quotes halacha number 5. Tevila zu shematpilin kriya suda v'halokochem in ha'akum v'achachach yusru le'achira v'shtiyah. The tevila, according to the dumping of these kalim, which are clay suda, which are taken from an andrew, and afterwards you are allowed to use it for eating and drinking, ain't only yitum v'tara, el midivrei sofer. Now, the Rambam, the word divrei sofer means different things in different places. Sometimes it means midirabanan. It doesn't mean midirabanan here. We have psukim. Undoubtedly not. He means that there is a reason for it that we're probably not aware of. So somehow you're being metaheris from the fact that it was owned by a non-Jew. It sounds like the Yerushalmi. Whatever the reason is, we have to do this. What type of mikveh do we need? So it's interesting because when it comes to Tumah V'Tahara, So let's say I have a pin that becomes tummy. So how am I going to make a tar? I got to put it in the mikvah. How big of a mikvah?
47.
No. When it comes to tumah v'tara, it just has to be big enough to fit it in. So if I have a tummy pin and I'm walking down the street and it just rained, I drop it in a puddle and it's tar. Mm-hmm. That's all you need, right? As long as it covers it. If it's the puddle in the street, right? There you go. There's our mikvah. that's as far as tumah v'tahara go. What about tefilas kelim? So we said tefilas kelim is not related to tumah v'tahara. It's all different reasons. So that Tosfos says, b'makom shanida tovelas, tefilas nida lo kosev krav behedra. B'pirush Rav Yehuda go denafka mikal v'chomim mimaga deta on tefilah. It never really says how big a mikvah has to be for a woman. So we learn it from here. What are we learning? He said, tefilas kelim requires 40 saw because it's just like tefilas nida. So, therefore, we know from that, logically, tefilas nida requires more. Rabbi Antar Forrest did not come to the Darshina by Avodah Zarah, Ach, but maybe you don't use Chatam, Maim, Shanida, Tovelos, Mem, Bekamehem, Mem, Saw. So the role of Tevilas Kelim is different than Tumah V'Tahara, right? This is one of the proofs that we're talking about two different things. When it comes to Tumah V'Tahara, all you need is a mikvah that's big enough to fit it in. When it comes to Tevilas Kelim, you need a true 40 saw or mikvah. Rabbeinu Yitzchak Pirush did not come to the Darshina by Perak B'Mah Ha'isha Tiyah B'Nik Dosev. So again, we're trying to figure out where it comes from. One of the possibilities, the whole way we know that you need 40 saw actually comes from Tevilas Kelim. Up until now, we said that the only thing that requires Tevilas Kelim are metal. The Gemara tells us that that's the Oraisa. So Midrabanan, we added something else. Amar of Ashi, the Hani Chizuchusis Ho, Vechi Nishberu Yeshbim Takana Kri Matechas Domi. Rav Ashi says that glass requires it as well. Why? Because glass shares an important similarity to metal. What's that? In the event that it breaks, you can melt it and put it back together.
Harder to do.
Well, you got to melt the whole thing down and build it up again. You can't just stick it together. You can't solder it. But in fact, you could do that. You can take broken glass.
You have to put it again if you were to melt it down.
Well, who put it back together? Right? Assuming you put it back together, and assuming you are Jewish, you are set. However, if you give it to a non-Jew to melt down and rebuild, then you'd have to tovel it again.
But it's still mine, just because I give it for him to work on it. It's like
I own it.
Right. That's a good point. I think you're right. I think even if a non-Jew does it, I retract. You would still not have a problem with it, assuming that you owned it the whole way through. Okay, so we now have two areas that we're talking about.
So can we assume that if I went into a store where it was owned by a Jew and I bought it from him, he bought it from someone else, at that point it now belongs to a Jewish person, or do we have to assume it still has to be tovled?
Still has to be tovled.
Unless
a lot of these stores have their own
right,
or it was built by Jewish,
or they have their own, like he says, they shift it in the mikvah.
Right, that's happens to be question. But the idea being that,
why? Because they're doing the tefillah.
What? They don't. Really, the question is: are they really considered owners? If I'm buying something on the condition, I just want to sell it. I'm just a middleman. The question of whether I have enough ownership.
It can sit by me for a very long time.
It doesn't matter. That's a question. But that doesn't really happen most. Even in the stores that Yitzhak is referring to, they have a mikvah there, and then when you buy it, you dump it in. They don't dunk it for you. So we have here that glass midrabanan. Do you make a bracha on tovling glass? Yeah, we make a bracha. We make brachas on all sorts of drabanans, right? The favorite, our Enos's favorite drabanan, Yantav Sheni. We got some brachas on Yantav Sheni, even though it's drabanan, right? So, right. We also make brachas on mikra megillah. We also make brachas on Neshel Chanukah. Right? The fact that it's drabanan doesn't mean we don't make a bracha on it. Right? We still say Asher Kiddushan B'Tosav Tzivanu. That's the story. Rav Moshe Feinstein raises an interesting question. He wants to know, what about aluminum? If you look at the Chumash listed off six metals. Aluminum is not one of those six metals. We know that it's totally different. aluminum, titanium. Right. This is not on the list. Now, I'd say probably more than any other material, cookware is made out of aluminum. Right? The large majority is made out of aluminum. You know, you have if you're fancy, you get cast iron, you know. But not only that, but even some of the ones that aren't aluminum, titanium is the same Shiva. Titanium isn't an alloy or something. Titanium is its own element. So if I buy aluminum or titanium pots, do I have to tovel it? So, any thoughts? Let's first throw it out. Yes?
Isn't it the same question as those aluminum foil pans?
Well, no. Aluminum foil pans have an additional issue beyond the fact they're made out of aluminum. Right. The fact that they're disposable, as we'll discuss, makes them a little different.
Well, why should they be any less than glass?
Correct. That's exactly the point. Midrabbanan, the answer is for sure yes. Right? Because just like glass you can melt down, so too you can melt down aluminum. Right? So aluminum is going to be, the question is it d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? When the Chumash tells us these six metals, is it just because those were the six metals that they were aware of at the time? So these are just examples of all metals? Oh no, these six. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu knew there was such a thing as aluminum at the time, and he was well aware of the fact that there was titanium, and he knew all of these. And still he said, these six, is it only these six? What's the difference? Either way, I'm going to make a bracha on it.
Is ownership determined if you use it more than one time? Is that what?
No. Ownership is when
so
I own it.
According to that
it's
logic,
like I can't own bread on Pesach because I'm only going to eat it once.
Right. So according to that logic, that you're Shalmi in three, which says that you're doing it because it's like you're changing its status. So even an aluminum pan that you've used once,
you're saying that disposable should be as well.
According to
if you read
the Yerushalmi,
we'll discuss it. We do read the Yerushalmi, but we'll get to that. We'll discuss why someone would think otherwise. So of course it's chayv b'derabbanan. And it does make a big difference, but the difference would be what a suffix. Right? Let's say I'm not sure if it was tovled or not. Can I use it without tovling it? So suffix d'oraisa l'chumra, suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. Right? And if it's glass, I'm not sure if it was tovled or not. Right? So you could use it because it's a suffix d'rabbanan. If it's cast iron, if it's lead, if it's steel, right? If it's stainless. Right, so in all those cases, it would be d'oraisa. I wouldn't be able to use it. What about aluminum?
But even in the case of cast iron, if you went to be tovled, you wouldn't make the bracha because suffik d'rabbanan.
Right, so I wouldn't make the bracha, but I wouldn't be able to use it until I tovled it. Correct.
The same thing with aluminum. You could technically just tovel it just to be safe.
You could, but let's say here I'm stuck at Shabbos. Mm-hmm. At Shabbos, when this comes up, sometimes people bring you a candy platter with the candy on it, or the cake platter with the cake on it, you're not really sure, Baruch Hashem, the cake has a hashkacha on it, so you're not worried about that, but the platter doesn't have a hashkacha on it, you're not really sure. Or this also comes up a lot, I find. I get this question the most on Purim. Shalach manas. People deliver shalach manas in these, right? Particularly organizations. Oftentimes they'll do a lovely glass bowl, and you're stuck there scratching your head. Say, did they bother taking these all to the mikveh beforehand or not?
Right, onatz is a perfect example.
What?
Onatz, whenever they make a package.
Right, so yeah, onatz, I can at least call and ask them. But so this comes up a lot of times. It's not that rare to have a suffix. So Rav Moshe says, Hinei kli aluminum. Aluminium, as he spells it.
Oh, the British, the aluminium.
Right. Ruban, the hell he spoke with a British accent. Shehi matechas chadasha. It's a new metal.
Nizkeru b'krov.
Shalom, nizkeru b'krov. That's what he says, right? Near the minatara, einon tzvichon tzvichon. See, he thinks it's only d'rabbanan, right? The imasha nokar hakrosh, sheishos minim bishmosem. The fact that they listed off the six by name, they didn't say kli matechas, they didn't say... that we're talking about metal. But when Nocker called Kol Krematechos, Muchrach Roman the Dafka had a Mekabon Tumma, but Tzrich and Tvila. So it's the same question about Mekabalas Tumma. So again, the assumption here would be that aluminum is only makabel tuma midrabanan, where Moshe is saying. Now that could be important for other things as well. Even though we're not makbet on tuma vitara, it might affect your canvas sukkah. Because the problem with the canvas sukkah, according to some people, is you can't be maimed your schach. You can't support your schach with davar makabel tuma. That's probably a derabanan. So some people make the argument that if it's aluminum poles, so it's only tuma derabanan, and mime is only a problem with derabanan. So double derabanan in this case is not a problem.
Isn't that why you stick wood in between? Mm-hmm. Anyways,
I don't personally. I saw the sukkah that was in the backyard of the Fried house this past sukkah, and the schach was right on the metal. I was very taken aback.
I had a vision of chassidim. I would be honest.
Okay. So he says that the fact that six were listed off in the pasuk, that specifically means that. It's not that Hashem didn't know aluminum existed. It's not like it was invented afterwards. It is one of the basic elements. But okay, people didn't know about it, but so what? It wasn't people that wrote the Torah. So he said that they didn't, that when it comes to Tefillas Kelim, okay, then you can do it. They say it's similar. But for Tuma Vatara, not at all. That's what he thinks. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky disagreed with Rav Moshe based on the Tosfos that we had mentioned before. Here in number 9, it says, Afal Gav, the Revi Yisagi Rahatvil Machtin Vitzinoris, even though a Revi is of a mikvah, right, 3 ounces is all you need to be Tovel, something like a pin. Haino Tvil Tuma, Avol Tvilos Kre Midran, Chidashu by Memsa. They're not the same. So Rav Yaakov says, I'll agree with you, in fact, that for Tumah Vitara, aluminum is not Doraisa, but I'm not going to agree with you for Tefillas Kelim. Because they're two different things. Just because with Tumah Vitara, it's only Derabanan, that doesn't mean for Tefillas Kelim, it's Derabanan. So that's a machokes, whether aluminum is, or titanium, which is also very common nowadays in the cookware, whether or not it's the rice or the rabbanon. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein's the rabbanon, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in a piece on this week's Parsha, disagrees. What about something that's not glass and it's not metal? Plastic. What would you say about that?
It's also like
glass. You can melt it away.
No, you can
plastic.
And reuse it?
Yes, you can. You grind. My father had that business. You grind it, you heat it up again, and you make whatever you want to make out of it.
Generally, the custom is not to play with plastic.
So that's,
you grind it down, and then you grind it.
Well, that's what we call recycling nowadays.
So you take these things and...
Right.
That's what recycling is. You make it into pellets. Right, so that's a key point there. I don't know, if you ever leave one of these cups too close to the oven...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Right, what happens to it? It vaporizes. So basically there are two types of plastics in the world. Right? The plastic bags, the plastic cups, the plastic containers actually that you get in the deli. So you leave that next to the fire, gone. Mm-hmm. Right? It vaporizes. However, there are other types of plastics which you can melt down and reuse. So the Chavadas, Rav Avadya, wants to know what the status of that is. She'elam, kreisudu chadoshim asuyim matechos o zechukos o plastic. Hamuvim mechutz laretz, obviously I saw, umiyuchad chay pyrex vidurelex im tzrichen tvila b'mikva o imbracha. That's the question. So pyrex is an interesting. I remember it very well. When Soloveitchik passed away, they had this thing, Sifsosov Dovavos Vekeber, that they had a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik get up in the base medrash every night, and explained his view of Rav Soloveitchik. And it was fascinating. Right? The first day, you know, I think Rav Branchfield got up and said, the Rav never read philosophy, he never read literature, it's all baloney. And the next guy got up and said, that's all what he did. Mm. Right? Rabbi Tendler got up and said, Rav was a man of science and Torah. That's who he was. Right? So one person after another, till finally Rabbi Daniel Feldman at the end turned to me and he said, you know, after 30 days I figured out what the Rav was. He was a mirror. You looked at him and you saw yourself. That's what it was. So in his discussion of the Rav as a man of science, Rabbi Tendler focused on the question of toiveling Pyrex. And I remember him saying, he says that everybody knows that glass is silicon boroboricate, but Pyrex is borosilicon silicate. I'm a little off here. And he says, and anybody who knows anything knows that all the glass that they find out in ancient Israel was all actually Pyrex. So anybody who would tell me that Pyrex is not glass for kashering or for tefillas kelim doesn't know what they're talking about. What does Rav Avadya say? B'sikum. That's the best thing about Yechav Adas. You don't really have to read the whole thing. There's always that line at the end, to kitzer. Chi matachas v'chi zechuchas chadoshim sheim chi suda muvayim echutzorash yesh l'tvam b'bracha. That's an easy one. Obviously, anything that's made out of glass or metal, you're going to have to make a bracha. Ava chi plastic and the kach megoy einam tzrichim tefila klal. Right? He said, that does not require at all. However, hamach v'ra'aso v'tovo b'ro bracha. Tova la bracha. If someone's machmir and wants to do without a bracha, have a good time.
But he dodged Pyrex.
What? He does not talk about the Pyrex. I believe that, in fact, the minig is that we do tova Pyrex. Mm-hmm. Right? But we do not tova plastic at all. That there is no need to tova plastic.
We assume plastic is something that you usually don't keep anyways.
No.
No, you can have plastic.
You ever been to a Tupperware party?
Yeah.
Not plastic dishes.
Right? Tupperware is made out of plastic.
Yes.
Right?
Isn't Corel that plastic's made out of plastic?
Right? No, you go...
Well, for a soda bottle, for example, you don't...
If you go to Target and they have the priest... They go at the college sales, there's tons of plastic plates.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For college students. Right? That will last them through 4 years of college. Some of these people have to last through 6 years of college. Depending on how they do.
Pass the shelf.
Right? Just saying. So that's the story with plastic. Interesting. I'll just mention. I don't know. I think I forgot to put it on the sheet.
Snapple.
But no. And I even didn't forget Snapple. What about China? I should have put that on. Mm-hmm. Right. So people get confused about this. One, I am of the opinion, based on other opinions, that there is no need to toivel China, mm-hmm. even though it's glazed. Which means the outside is glass, right? And the Aruch HaShulchan says, things that are glaziert are chayiv. I think it's very different. Old time, at the time of the 100 years ago, when they would glaze something, you could see a layer of glass. If you look at your Shabbos dishes or your weekday dishes, that spray is nothing. So therefore, if you go to the Rav household and you look at the bottom of the plates, you'll note that it has stickers on it. We never took them off because
you have to toil them.
Because you don't have to toil them. So they hold that.
Don't they differentiate between bone china and
porcelain? Is also
I don't think so. I think bone china, porcelain, none of it has to be toiled, not even without a bracha.
If you have
worth, just last year we
buy bone china.
Did you do it?
Because last year we bought china, and we were told we had to toil them.
To be upside
yes,
the shit last year. But,
yeah.
But in 20 years from now, when you go shopping again,
you have to know which rabbi what to ask.
That's important.
It comes down.
Interesting question from the Abiya Omer. The Abiya Omer wants to know the following. If someone is Megayer, when they convert, do they have to toggle their kelim? So this is one of the several questions that come up. Interesting side questions. What?
They're coming at the same time.
They're coming, that's right. You're going anyhow. So Pashtus, the simple understanding is yesterday this was owned by a non-Jew. And today it's owned by a Jew. So a simple understanding is you would have to be told it. However, Rav Avadya quotes this from the Sochet Shavar, from this week's Parsha, a very interesting idea. I'm personally surprised he quotes this Lalachta. The Apirio Nimtai Lomarsha Yechid, the Ashkach Margarito, is under Shmuel Bornstein, Misochet Shavar, same as Shem Mishmuel. So the Shem Yishmael was the son of the Avnei Ezer. The father was the Sochet Shavar. The son was the Sochet Shavar.
Who would have thought?
What?
Who would have thought?
Go figure. Wow, what a coincidence. He named it more Isa Vlad Trefer Shas Abrachak Nitrafa. He Vlad Nitrafu. Goes a little lumdus and basically says as follows. Lefia on the Ha'amor Nira Shagershin Skaya V'Kelev Ima. When the Ger goes to the mikvah, not only does he become Jewish, but all of his possessions become Jewish as well, and therefore the ger does not have to do tefilas kelim. A fascinating idea. I think the minhag is to be machmir on this. We encourage gerim to do tefilas kelim, however, without a bracha because of this, because there is such an opinion. This is one of the many odd questions. A stranger question is the question of bishul akum. In general, the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat food that's cooked by a non-Jew, even if we know that all the ingredients are kosher and there's no basar b'challah. Why?
He converted.
So the guy cooked on Wednesday.
He converted.
So the mikvah Thursday can't have leftovers Thursday night.
Why not?
Because he was a guy when he cooked it.
Because he might marry himself yesterday. Right? That's what it comes down to. So that's
it's
another.
More complicated,
John. Right.
The guy became a Jew between lunch and dinner. Can he? Does he have to wait 6 hours?
There you go. So in fact, these are the even though Rav Avadya quotes the Shem Yishmuel from this week's Parsha Lahalacha, the minhag is not to rely on that, but to rely enough to tell them not to make a bracha. The Bishul Akum one's a trickier one. Right, this is the famous Rav Moshe Tshuva about Snapple bottles and aluminum cans. Says, right? It was made to be used once. It's not going to last. How long can you use an aluminum pan for? Most people, you spend 20 cents, you're going to throw it out. You're not going to wash it. That's the whole reason I bought disposable. Some people, you know, they get 2-3 uses out of it. That's absolutely, it's a little bit of pants. So he says, if something is disposable, it does not have a din of a kli. Best case scenario, you only get 2-3 uses out of them. Let's say it's very cheap and I throw it out, but you could use it many times, then it would be impossible. So Moshe Feinstein came up with his heter. He said something that's disposable is not a kli. Since it's not a kli, you don't have to be tovel it. Rav Shachter disagrees. Interesting. So what does that mean? So a Snapple bottle. Really, what I should be doing is I should be opening my Snapple bottle, pour it out, tovel it, dry it, then I can pour my Snapple back into it.
Let's just drink from the cup at that point.
Or you can just drink from the cup at that point.
Yeah.
So Rav Shachter's machmir, he drinks from the cup. He does not drink from the bottle.
Hmm.
What about Coke cans?
Why? Because it can be used more than once.
Yeah. Now, that could be. He doesn't know this. He thinks Ramosha's wrong. He thinks that just because I use it one time doesn't mean it's not a kli. We pointed out earlier in the summer that has a important ramifications for Kiddush. A disposable cup, Ramosha says, is not a kli. You can't use it for Kiddush. Twice if you say that you do have to type. What's the other way? Yes.
About 50 years ago, milk used to come in glass bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And you just give it back and get another one.
Right.
How did that deal with that?
Because you never owned the bottle.
No, if it's owned the cow.
If the cow was Jewish.
It's a gear, that's a different story.
There you go. So what about Coke cans? So what about this? We're going to shut down a problem with this? It's plastic, not a problem. Coke cans.
The intent of a Coke can was not meant to drink from. It was to contain the Coke. So you would think it should be a...
It's not a vessel.
But it's disposable. Right. It's for one-time use.
So according to Moshe, it'd be fine. Other people are mako for a different reason. A Coke can is not a kli when you buy it. Because the definition of kli is something you can put in and take out. It's sealed on all sides. When I open it, it becomes a kli. Because now I can pour out. Mm-hmm. Who made it into a kli?
Me.
Jew.
Me.
And I owned it.
And I'm Jewish. Right? So therefore, some people say, that's why you don't need to do it. Mm. Of course, that means that there's a real problem doing it on Shabbos. Because you're the one who made it into a kli. Mm. Unlike here, it was a kli, you just had a cap on it, and I'm taking the cap off. A can really would have been much more of a problem. Mm. So again, there's this trade-off. So that's the story that...
Why can't you say the same thing about Snapple?
What do you mean?
Snapple, it's closed into all sides.
It's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It has a lid on it. It
has a lid.
But it's a
separate piece. It's a glass cleat that has a lid on it.
It's a separate piece.
Oh, okay. But I'm saying it doesn't get in and out.
What?
It doesn't get in and out. I think the whole concept is it's closed.
No, again, it's just like this. This is a cleat and it has a cap on it.
Okay.
Right, so that was sealed, and I'm making a hole in it.
Got it.
So that's the reason. So Rav Moshe has this kula. That's why Rav Moshe says you don't have to. If you're machmir Rav Shechter, then you would have to tovel aluminum pans. I think one time they asked Rabbi Shechter, so you tovel your aluminum pans? So, what are you crazy? So what do you mean? Mm-hmm. So, she says he passes. I run the kitchen.
Good answer.
Right. So as far as I know. Okay, next tshuva from Rav Moshe, toaster. You have to tovel your toaster.
George Foreman.
Or your George Foreman grill.
It's the end George of it. It won't work anymore. Hmm?
I do it.
Well,
I'm George Foreman.
Tovel a lot more than
me. So it's interesting.
Somehow it stopped working after that. I couldn't figure out why.
Oh, a couple of days later, it tries out.
Whenever Rabbi Tzvi Sobolovsky gives a share on this, he tells the following story. So Rabbi Sobolovsky and I were roommates in YU for several years. And, you know, between the two of us, it's amazing that neither of us really had any brains. So in those days, we had a telephone in your room, because mm-hmm. there wasn't such a thing as cell phones. Mm-hmm. And you had an answering machine, because there wasn't such a thing as voicemail. And the answering machine had a little tape in it. So we put the tape on top of the answering machine on top of our little fridge. And the fridge was next to the sink. And the sink never drained. Mm-hmm. So every time we used to close the fridge, the answering machine would fall into the full sink. Gone. So you had to unplug it, let it sit for a day, change the tape, and it was good as new. But so he said, that's the raya that you could type on George Foreman Grill. We used to type our answering machine once, twice a week, probably. And in fact, lived happily ever after. So I remember one time giving a shiur on this in yeshiva about the George Foreman Grill. And I said, you know, if it's going to get ruined, you don't have to do it, the Moshe says. But if it's not going to get ruined, you're fine. So the guy raises his hand and says, Rabbi, I'm not telling you how to paskin. But when I'm done using my George Foreman grill at night, what I do is I fill the sink with water and I leave it there overnight to clean. He said, and then, you know, you just either use a hair blower to dry it out or you let it sit 24 hours. He says, no problem whatsoever. Huh. So in the event
would,
that...
It would appear that you could tie it.
Right. So he said, I'm not basking. I'm just telling you what's my minute of what I do in terms of...
The ones with the... Where you actually have to press a button for it to turn on and off. That can get ruined because...
No, it can't.
Electronic, no?
If you let it sit for 24 hours and dry out, you never have a problem. I've never heard anyone having a problem except for maybe Avi Fried. Exactly. You know, I'll have to sit down and discuss this with his parents.
You need to cancel your cell phone?
If you eat it, yeah.
Some of the cell phones are made for metal.
Right?
The frame of some of the cell phones is made.
So tell me,
good,
use it as a fork, use it as a knife.
On it.
That's right. So as an attorney, I very likely they have a cell phone that can get hot enough to cook.
Yeah.
So in the terms, if it's not going to, if it's, so what are you going to do, talk if it's going to get ruined? So it's interesting. There are a lot of cases which is very hard to title. For example, if you have industrial-sized pots, so how do you title an industrial-sized pot?
You don't toggle that way.
So there's different approaches. Some people say is you drill a hole in it, and then you fill the hole. So then the hole made an ice kli, and now it was made by a Jew.
Mm.
Now it is a kli. Another thing you can do is what they say you're supposed to do in number 16. Im shachach will hit the kli me'erev Shabbos on me'erev Yontif. Let's say I bought new. We're having simcha, right? So we're having a lot of people over for shever bachas. So my wife goes and she buys new silverware, and she sets the table, and we have 50 yes silver. And she turns to me and she says, by the way, big shkayach, you have to 9 days you toivel it, but you dried it all also. I said, I was supposed to toivel it? I thought you were going to toivel it. No, what do you do now? So I can't run out, it's Shabbos. You can't be toivel kelim on Shabbos. We're having all these people coming. No?
Take out the plastic.
What are the mechotanim going to say?
Oi.
What are the mechotanim going to say? Come on.
Girls' shidduch age is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Right. This is just the nosh. This is like something with sakaris nefashis.
Right.
So he says, "Imshachah vohit milchli me'er shavus me'er yadav yidnenu lo lekachavim mematana." I go to my neighbors. Baruch Hashem, I've been blessed with many neighbors that are not members of the tribe, and I'll say, "I want to give you a gift. I have new silverware." They say, "Thank you. You mind if I use it today?" I say, "Gig isn't the hate." I don't think it's exactly that, my Jewish neighbors, but they'll say that, you know, in the Spanish equivalent. So you tell them, because if that's the case, if it's not owned by a Jew, then in fact it's not a problem. So Ramah says, similarly, if you can imagine this, imagine there's a community without a mikvah. Are you talking? Right? See, if there would be such a thing, so that's what you can do. You call Antonia. Say, Antonia, I'm not talking for dear. You mind if we borrow it? What if I didn't do it? What if Taka, this happens, you go to someone's house and they know they don't tovel the kelim. Are you allowed to eat the food? Well, now some mashin ishtamish, bro. It was an aveira, you were mevatel an asay. But in fact, that you can use it. So
is there a concept that you're allowed to use the dishes one time?
No.
Before?
Because no.
I've heard a few times of people
that's like, no. A misunderstanding of the Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says if it's only going to be used once.
But not something
right.
That's going
it's
to be
not,
used permanently.
Right.
So
it doesn't mean, but if it's used permanently, there's no freebie out there. People misunderstand. You don't get one free bite at the apple. So in fact, there is no freebie, but you have this option. If you find yourself in the Shas HaDachak, you can give it to a non-Jew. Not only that, you only have to give the whole thing, Ramatana. If it's partially owned, like let's say you have, this actually came up one time, so restaurants, right? If a restaurant's owned by a Jew, the Hashkach is going to make sure that they do it. What if there's a shutfis, and some is Jewish and some is not Jewish? That does not require Tvilas Kalim. There was a Shaila one time, where there was a falling out, and the Jew brought out the non-Jew. So the Hashkacha said, oh, mazel tov, now go tovel everything. Because in fact, that's the halacha. So he, in fact, I think he got brought a non-Jew in, you know, as a minority owner of the pots and pans, not to have the problem. One semi-related thing is, one person has to be very careful. When you sell your chametz, do not sell your forks and knives and pots and pans. Because if you sell them, then you have to toifle them when you get them back.
Mm.
So taco.
It's an app worker, right?
You didn't think about that, did you? So therefore, when we sell your chametz for you, we always sell that we're selling all the food and all the chametz that's in the pots and pans. But you can't have the pots and pans. And the reason that we do that is said that there shouldn't be a requirement that anyone do tefillas kelim afterwards.
The toaster case he gave.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be enough parts? Obviously. You
know, yes. Again, if there are racks. But if there are racks, that would not be a problem.
What was the reason again? He said that if you go to someone's house and you know they don't travel
The Rama, 16. The Rama says it beferish. The Rama says it beferish. It doesn't make a dreif. It's a bit rasa. Yes.
Say you're not like you didn't touch them, or they were your parents, and they've been sitting in the shop for like a very, very, very long time. And whether it's just that, or they're also spider webs instead.
Spiders, yeah.
Same thing either way. Would there be an issue with that? Because maybe.
Yeah, and the question is, you don't know if it was toveled or not.
Well, no, but like. Okay.
You know, it was or it wasn't.
Maybe. You know it was. You're able to check with your parents.
Yeah.
It's been in a
So, yeah, it's fine. Assuming that it hasn't left Jewish ownership, there's no statute of limitations by which you have to retovel your dishes.
Why is this limited only to dishes? The pasuk doesn't say dishes.
Right.
Well, no, because it's clear. So, it says everything that you're going to use with hot, with fire, there's fire. So clearly the context is only talking about dishes. Right? It's all talking about Klei Suda. It says, and if it wasn't used for hot, wasn't this? Ach b'mei nida. Just throw it into the mikvah. Right? So I think, so the pasuk really is, in context, is talking about that.
So all the modern metals, like the carbon composite and all this, will obviously not need...
Carbon composite's a metal?
I don't know what it is exactly, but you know what they make the planes now from. Is it
right,
plastic?
So I think those are ceramics.
Ceramics?
I believe they are, right? Like there are knives that are made out of ceramics now. You don't have to tie them.
You will not have to.
No, because that's klicheres. Like if you can't melt them and put them back together. If they get smashed, that's the end of it.
They come up with more and more new.
Right.
So that
you would not. But again, assuming they're not metal alloys, then you would not have to. All right.